If you would, grab your copy of Scripture, turn with me to Psalm chapter 48, or your copy of the bulletin. It should all be printed there, and we'll read together the entire chapter, all 14 verses. This is the word of the Lord. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and the city of our God. His holy mountain, beautiful in elevation, is the joy of all the earth. Mount Zion in the far north, the city of the great King. Within her citadels, God has made himself known as a fortress. For behold, the kings assembled. They came on together. As soon as they saw it, they were astounded. They were in panic. They took to flight. Trembling took hold of them there, anguish as of a woman in labor. By the east wind, you shattered the ships of Tarshish. As we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, which God will establish forever. We have thought on your steadfast love, O God, in the midst of your temple. As your name, O God, so your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments. Walk about Zion. Go around her. Number her towers. Consider well her ramparts. Go through her citadels, that you may tell the next generation that this is God, our God, forever and ever. He will guide us forever. Amen. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Please join me in prayer. Our great God, we praise your name because you are greatly to be praised. We give thanks to you because you are our gracious fortress and protector. And in humble dependence upon you, we pray that you would guide us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. Grant us eyes to behold your majesty from your word, and grant us hearts to love you and to obey your commandments in following the example of Christ our King, who lives and reigns with you, our Father, and the Holy Spirit, one God, our God, for all eternity. Amen. Well, not too long ago, I was in the library at the seminary. I was looking for a particular book. I talked about the names of Jesus, maybe his attributes, maybe ways he's described in the Bible. And I found a book that was entitled, The Names of Jesus. Over 700 names of Jesus to help you really know the Lord you love. Sadly, we won't have time to closely examine all 700 of Jesus' names tonight. But what we do get to see from Psalm 48 is that God makes himself known as a fortress. And we're going to see one of the main purposes of God describing himself as a fortress is that for those who trust in him, if you trust in him, God is your fortress. And because God is your fortress, you and I are to praise him for all eternity. When I read the first three verses of this psalm, I was reminded of the book Pilgrim's Progress. And if you've read this story, you know that the pilgrim is a main character in the story, and his name's Christian, who after a long and difficult journey approaches the celestial city in all its glory on Mount Zion and has joy in his heart, knowing that he has reached the promised land. And during this time in which the psalm was written, Psalm 48, many of the Israelites from various tribes were like Christian. in Pilgrim's Progress. He Christian, and those Israelites traveled to Jerusalem who didn't live in the religious center of the nation. And they would travel to Jerusalem to worship and participate in the feasts and festivals of Israel. These Israelite pilgrims came from all other places in the nation to Mount Zion, to Jerusalem, for worship. And they would approach the city and have their hearts stirred, not merely because of the city's beauty and height, but primarily because this was the city of the great king. This king in verse 2 might be a reference to King David, who was the figure, head of a united kingdom, receiving the blessings of God. But Israelites who had eyes of faith would see that Yahweh is the true king, and David was merely the little k king, ruling on behalf of the true cosmic capital K king, Yahweh. So the main focus of the first three verses of this psalm is not only a call to worship, but it is an answer to the question, who is God? Verse 3 answers that Yahweh is our God. He is our great king who has made himself known as a fortress. So in what way is God a fortress? I'm assuming that most of us don't have much experience with actual castle-like fortresses, and walking around them and touching them and benefiting from them. So I was trying to think of a modern-day example equivalent to a fortress, and I remembered how we've had some pretty bad weather recently, the past couple of weeks. You might have experienced this when it's windy and raining outside and you have to get from point A to point B, whether it's your house to the car or from the car to the store or from the store back to your car. You have to run through the rain. When you get to the car, you can hear all of the rain hitting the roof of the car and find this peace and joy that you're not out there, but you're in the safety and protection of your car. Or maybe another example, some of you are from out west, is a storm bunker or an underground bunker where you and your family could hide from the threat of an oncoming tornado. In the presence of these threats, unless you're a storm chaser, you run to safety as a symbol of his love for his chosen people. God has made himself known as a fortress because he protects his people from their enemies, according to his gracious covenant he's made with Abraham. In Genesis 12, God promises Abraham that he would bless Abraham and bless those who bless him. But God promised to curse those who dishonor Abraham and his offspring after him. And building on this promise to Abraham, God also promises King David in 2 Samuel chapter 7 that he will protect Israel from her enemies. And because of these promises, Psalm 48 is a poetic picture of God keeping his word and cursing, judging, and routing all those who oppose his covenant people. In the same way, God has promised to us that he will protect us from evil and graciously save us. As we've heard in our New Testament reading, we have a good shepherd who says five times in our John 10 passage that he came to lay down his life for his sheep, that you and I might have life in him. And in Psalm 48, verses 1 through 3, you and I are called to worship this God because God is your fortress in whom we have refuge and who is worthy to be praised. Continuing on the theme in worship, if you look at verses 4 through 8, the psalmist gives a historical example that illustrates how faithful God is to keep his promise and protecting his people like a fortress. Beginning in verse 4, the psalmist points worshipers to reflect upon the past, which highlights God's greatness in saying, "Behold, the kings assembled. They came on together, and as soon as they saw it, they were astounded. They were in panic. They took to flight. Trembling took hold of them there, anguish as of a woman in labor. Rather than having their hearts filled with joy, like the Israelites who came to Mount Zion for worship, God's enemies approached the city of God, and they were thrown into panic, so much so that they trembled violently in dread, like the way in which a mother is in pain during labor. What a vivid image. God reveals that He is our fortress. And depending on your relationship with God, you either find comfort and joy in seeing the dwelling place of God, like a pilgrim, or you quake in fear for your life. Isn't this like the picture that we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, where the Apostle Paul says that we are to thank God and Christ, who always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. The messengers of the gospel, Paul's saying, who proclaim that Christ reigns as King, give a sweet fragrance of assurance to some, but to others, they are messengers carrying with them the stench of death. If you do not know Christ as your King, will you turn to Him today? Will you forsake your spiritual battle against Him? God is a gracious King who shows mercy to those who turn to Him from their sin and trust in Him as God. For He tells us that He has demonstrated His love even towards His enemies, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ became a man so that He would live, die, and be raised again in order to cover our debt of sin that we owe God. Dying the death you and I deserve, and giving eternal life to all who turn to Him for help. If you do not know Christ today, will you turn to Him? For those of you who do know Christ and love Christ, I encourage you, no matter what discouragement you're going through right now, no matter what spiritual battle you may be in, find your hope and joy that Christ is your fortress and protector. Paul assures us in Romans chapter 8 that if God is for us as a fortress, like we see in Psalm 48, who can be against us? Take courage in knowing that neither death nor life nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. God, through the saving work of Christ and the indwelling of His Holy Spirit, is your fortress, who protects you from all His and our enemies, both now and whatever battle you may be facing. God is your fortress both now and for all eternity. Place your deepest comfort in trusting that not you or I, but that Christ rules over all His creation and is working all things out for our good and His glory. In verses 1 through 3 of Psalm 48, we see that God has made Himself known as a fortress. And in verses 4 through 8, God has demonstrated his faithfulness, that He is a faithful fortress. He demonstrated His faithfulness and steadfast love in powerfully protecting His people as their fortress, even beyond the bounds of the city and shattering the ships on the sea. But how are we to respond? How are we to respond to such grace? The psalmist tells us that we are to rejoice and taking comfort that God graciously establishes and secures His people because He's our fortress. In verses 9 through 14, we see in more concrete terms how God and his people, how God's people are to respond to his grace and worship. And one way to summarize this response to God and worship is through three P's. Our great God, through the psalmist, calls you and me to respond to God in worship and reverent pondering, in praising, and in proclaiming. We are to respond in pondering, praising, and proclaiming. In verse 9 of this response in worship, the psalmist describes the scene of God's people gathering safely in the midst of the city where God dwells in a special way, in the temple. The temple in the Old Testament was God's chosen place of worship amongst his chosen people. And when God's people heard of the protection and saw it themselves, God's people got to enjoy the peace of fellowship with him. After experiencing the fear of the storm in the form of advancing enemies, God's people find divine protection from the storm, because God is our shelter in the storm, our underground bunker. And in terms of the spiritual warfare you and I are in every day of our lives, God is your fortress. He's your protector. And when God's people experience the salvation, you and I can then enjoy the peace after the storm. This blessing of stillness and shalom all around, where we can ponder God's faithful protection. This is one aspect of our worship. Although we are still in a daily battle, we can find peace in looking back and pondering God's faithfulness to us and to our family, to our loved ones. But we can also find joy knowing that our future rests secure in God's sovereign hand, because he has irrevocably saved us, not based on our own righteousness, but based on the righteousness of Christ he has gifted to us through faith. So in having peace with God the Father through the blood of Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, we can ponder the protection and security that we have in Christ, knowing that in him we have the victory over sin, Satan, and death. And in this pondering, this thoughtful dwelling on God's steadfast love, our hearts are warmed, and in it we have our praise fueled. Because God is your fortress and protector, I encourage you to continue in prioritizing days like today, the Lord's Day, to ponder anew God's protecting love for you. After pondering the love of God, verses 10 through 11 call God's people to praise him. As your name, O God, so your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments. In this passage and others like it, there's a reference to the daughters of Judah. And those are the towns and cities of Judah. If Mount Zion is the mother and then all the cities surrounding it are the daughter cities. So these verses call not only the inhabitants of the city of Mount Zion to praise God, but all of God's people, in one accord, are to praise God because he is our faithful fortress who judges the nations in perfect righteousness. So far, we have seen that God reveals himself as a fortress who protects you. And because of who he is and what he has done, he is worthy of our worship. And the way in which we worship God is first by pondering his steadfast love, and also praising his name. And in the remainder of the psalm, beginning in verse 12, the psalmist commands God's people to worship God in proclaiming who he is and what he has done. In verse 12, the psalmist tells us how we're to remember God's deliverance through giving a series of imperatives. Walk about Zion. Go around her. Number her towers. Consider well her ramparts. Go through her citadels. In these verses, the defensive walls and structures of Israel are tangible symbols pointing to the real and true source of Israel's security. Remember who these walls represent. What made Jerusalem so great? It isn't the ruggedness of the towers, ramparts, or citadels alone. These robust physical structures are representative of God's power and strength as a faithful fortress for his people. And this is part of the psalm that might be directed to those pilgrims who would have been heading home from a time of worship and celebration in Jerusalem. They might not be back to Jerusalem for several months to come, and for their spiritual edification, they are instructed to walk around and take to heart all that they have seen and experienced so that it might strengthen their faith in God, our faithful fortress and defender. And in addition to strengthening the faith of the saints, God gives another purpose for us to remember that he's our fortress. In the second part of verse 13, the psalmist states his purpose in all those imperatives. We are to consider well all these fortifications so that you may tell the next generation that this is God, our God, forever and ever. He will guide us like a shepherd forever. In addition to pondering the faithfulness of God and praising him in worship, we are to proclaim his faithfulness to the next generation. True, God-honoring worship isn't designed only to benefit ourselves, as good as that is. These last verses echo God's purpose in blessing Abraham. God told Abraham, "I bless you, that you might be a blessing to others, including your offspring after you." So this psalm is a charge to those of you who are parents or will be parents. Share with your children the wonders of God's faithfulness in the gospel, and raising children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's easier said than done, of course, but don't be afraid to ask God for the strengthening grace to fulfill what he requires of us. I'm convinced that our enemy would love for parents to neglect this call to proclamation. But God calls you from his word to proclaim that he is your fortress. And we could proclaim him as our fortress, not only with our lips, but also with our lives. In times of distress and anxiety, when it's easy not to depend upon God, when it's easier to look inward rather than outward, you can proclaim to your children the comfort of God, your fortress, and turning to him in prayer. And most of all, you and I are to share the love of the Father with them in teaching that Jesus is our good shepherd who came to lay his life down that you and I might have life. And in giving us confidence that no one is able to snatch us out of the Father's hand. We are to continue this tradition of telling the next generation until Christ comes again. So may we all look to God, our faithful fortress, who protects us according to his loving will. And may we worship him in pondering, proclaiming, and praising his faithfulness and telling every generation Amen. Please join me in prayer. Merciful Father, we pray that you will apply your word to our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit, forming us to be more like Christ, in whom we have eternal life. In Christ's name and for his glory, we pray. Amen.